Welcome to the Language Access Lecture, a PGLS podcast focused on language access in K-12 schools. I'm your host, Mark Byrne.
This is an exciting time. This is the first edition of our Language Access Lecture, which is a podcast that is focused on promoting language access in K-12 schools and also general interest topics. So when my boss presented this topic to me, you know, I had a little bit of an imposter syndrome going on. I wasn't sure if people were going to want to sit down and listen to a conversation from me talking about language access in K-12 schools. The response that I've gotten has been tremendous. Not only people who are interested in, you know, listening to the podcast and the guests that I can bring on, but even people that, maybe fall a little outside of the world of language access who'd be interested in, you know, hearing me speak a little bit about general interest topics or things like that. So it's been very flattering, but I also think there's a lot of pressure on bringing on great guests, especially for your first podcast. So I could not be more thrilled to have Almeda Radford. Al, we'll go by Al, Manassas City Public Schools Director of Public Communications. And the reason why I wanted to bring Al on today, not only is she a great champion for language access at one of the districts that we partner with here at Manassas City Public Schools, but she's also the co-host of a podcast called Riding with the Radfords. Yes. And like I said, I needed to get over the imposter syndrome. I needed some inspiration and some advice for launching a podcast. Of course, this is my first effort to go ahead and launch a podcast. And I wanted to talk to somebody who'd done it before, who's had some experience with this. And Joe Rogan wouldn't take my calls.
Oh, so sorry.
Yeah, that's right. So step into the lectern for the very first time, Almeda Radford. And I couldn't be more excited to talk to you a little bit about riding with the Radfords and all that that goes along with that, and talking a little bit about language access as well. So, right. Al, why don't you go ahead and introduce the great work that you and your husband are doing, riding with the Radfords, and I'll have some questions for you as well. But, please feel free to introduce yourself to our audience, and excited to kick this off with you.
Well, thank you so much, Mark. I am definitely privileged and honored to be here with you today. I was very excited and amused with the fact that you wanted to sit down and talk to me for your very first one. But here we are. And yes, as you said, I'm Al Radford, and I've been with Manassas City Public Schools. This is my 26th year with the school district, but also just living in the city of Manassas. My husband and I, we've been together since we were 17 years old. So we were high school sweethearts. He's my best friend. We banter and play and have so much laughter and humor in our relationship that especially during the pandemic, we just started recording ourselves as we were, as we called it, defluffing, defluffification. That was our get healthy kick that we started doing. And we would just invite people to ride along with us as we were having these conversations in the car on the way to our workout sessions. And then it became us walking outside and us just talking, very unscripted, authentic conversations. And all of a sudden, Riding with the Radfords was birthed. And it was just really more, it wasn't even a podcast. It was just vlogging, showing up on, Facebook or Instagram or something like that. And then over time, people started saying, we want to hear more from you, And so Riding with the Radfords just kind of took off. And my husband said to me, well, maybe we should do it in the format of a podcast. We do a lot of counseling as ministry partners in the community with families and couples and things like that. Yeah. And so a lot of times our conversations would take place in the car about the topics of things that people would present to us. So we just turned the cameras and the mics on, did a little bit of research about what podcasting was. And, we had so many people who had done like TV and radio, and it's costly. And, as we began our research, we said, we have free platforms that are out there, like YouTube, like, all of the different podcasting platforms. And so we just took the dive and said, we'll see who wants to listen. And it's kind of taken off. It's not like we are at a viral state or anything like that, but definitely we have a following of friends and family and community people who tend to listen. When we go in and look at our analytics, we'll be like, oh, wow, Belgium, where'd that come from?
Well, that's fun.
And so that's really how it was birthed. And we talk about just life, you know, from a marriage perspective, raising children, working full time, trying to just manage life. And that's what we talk about, just doing life. And I think that a lot of times people can relate to those things.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. Language access can be a tough game, but it's nothing compared to, having a relationship with your spouse and the work that has to go into that. So I have to say that, while I do work hard at PGLS, I definitely try to work even harder on my relationship with my wife and my family and
Right. That's a
having
huge part of who
resources.
we are.
Yeah, and having resources like your podcast to kind of level set or, just kind of share examples or experiences. It's meaningful stuff, and it lets you kind of, to think about how you apply it to your own life and things like that.
Yeah.
So I actually checked out the 25th episode of your second season.
Okay.
Wow, that's a lot of work that goes into that. So talk to me a little bit about the evolution of that initial podcast. I mean, so for our listeners, Al and Jesse have a wonderful podcast that they've set up. I love everything about it, especially the intro music. So if my marketing folks are listening, I need intro music like
I
this.
got a
Like,
guy for you.
do you really? Okay.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask about that because I think every podcast should have some intro music, and yours is excellent.
Oh,
Really well
wow. So
done.
glad you said
On
that.
yeah, let them know. On topic, very, very, very targeted. I thought it was great. And got me in the mood. I was like, all right, cool. All right. This is professional. Your background was very professional. I see you had a couple different camera angles that you're working with. So on one, it looks like it's a profile view of you. In the back, you have some brick background and a Yoda in the background, I
That's
think.
my husband in our studio. I tell you,
Yeah.
he's like that baby Yoda.
It's cool. I thought it was really, I mean, you know, so, I mean, obviously you can see me, I'm just my wood paneling in the back. So, I haven't worked on the knickknacks that are, going to be with me, on the podcast in the future, but I feel like you got to have some sort of background there, something unique there. But you mentioned, that at the onset of your podcast, it was just conversations in the car, right? Just very casual. And now
Yeah.
you obviously have a very professional setup. So talk to me a little bit about that experience and, how you guys have taken it from casual conversations to what I felt like was a very professional studio setup.
Well, it's funny that you say that because I feel that it's very important for people to see something that's authentic. And I don't want it to look so professional. I want it to feel like we're just sitting in our house having a conversation. And sometimes even with my husband, because this is really like a lot of self-taught, stuff that you're seeing
Yeah.
us going on YouTube and other places and seeing the experts talk about the type of portable or mobile pieces that we could use with cameras, iPhones, you know what I mean? Cell phone cameras and tripods and things like that for the different angles. Very minimal equipment investment. My husband does spend a lot of time researching microphones because it is very important that the audio is good.
Yeah.
And so we have mics that we attach to our cell phones so that the sound comes directly into what we're doing, so that there are no echoes and things like that. That kind of stuff came over time, learning how to do that. But on the same token, I did not want us to invest in a lot of studio production type things because it really is supposed to be that the average person can do this, that you don't have to think that you have to have a lot of money or a studio or high dollar equipment to get it done because people will listen. And as long as there's not a lot of disturbance, noise and things in the background or whatever, I think it's doable. And so when you talk about the evolution of it all, we literally just started off just wanting people to know who we are. And if you go back to this first season and that first episode, we recorded actually 4 episodes in a day so that we would have something, for people to, if we thought, okay, if we launch this on Valentine's Day, in the year that we did it, like I said, 2 years ago. So I guess that was 2022 or so. When we did that, it was important to us that if it takes off or if people go, oh, wow, I like that. What else do they have? Oh, we better have something else out there for them to listen to. So we did 4 recordings at one time on various topics, and those were foundational. It was really about let us help you know who we are as a couple, what things we enjoy, just kind of laying the foundation. And really just talking about the things that we talk about with our couples that come in to see us. You know, we've been married 28 years, and so yeah, certainly there are other people that's been in the game a lot longer than us. But over the years, all of the things that we've learned in traveling from Arkansas to Virginia and just learning about each other as adults, we moved into adulthood together. As I said, you know, we were 17 when we got together in high school, and I'm not ashamed to say we are 51 years old now. And so the reason that stuff is important to us is that the people of our generation, those Generation X people and things like that, that were born in that same time frame as us, we talk about identifiable things, you know, as we age and mature, what are we going through that other people are also dealing with? And so those were what the conversations became, and people started responding to that. And so we like to be very transparent. And Mark, it's very funny that you talked about our song because our minister of music at our church is a music producer. And so when we sat down and talked to him about wanting to have a unique song that was really about us, the approach was we have a 90s kind of love, you know. That was the height. We got together in 1990. So the vibe of the music was really supposed to be around
90s
that
sitcom
era,
kind of.
yeah, and that feel. And then talking about infusing things that we say on the podcast, how we want people to feel when they listen to us. He and his partner, Jerry, they sat down, Auntie and Jerry, and they sat down and they scripted this song to a T
All right,
of the
we're gonna
movie.
let our marketing team play that really quick. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna let the marketing team loop that in so that I can show people what I'm talking about. But yeah, we'll definitely get that in. Hold on.
Say what they want, go where they don't. I'm never alone, 'cause I ride with the reference. Healthy and whole relationship goals. It's good for the soul. Let's go.
All right. Sorry to cut you off. Go ahead, Al.
That's okay. Yeah, so that's really where that came from. And when we heard it, we said, "Oh my gosh, that's us." You know, and so we actually did one short on, you know, YouTube and Facebook and everything of the entire song so that people could really hear all of the lyrics and kind of get on with the hook or the chorus as it would kick in every time. And then they gave us a little bit of instrumental and stuff that we could use just for the intro, you know, to the actual podcast. But I'm glad that you brought that up because we really wanted that song
That
to
was
capture
neat.
who we are.
Yeah, I'm glad I saw that as well. I thought it was pretty neat. Now, one thing I want to do for our listeners too is I want to give you an opportunity to introduce Jesse. And of course, he's not on the podcast here to introduce himself, but just thinking about the challenge of introducing your partner. How would you introduce your partner? And I mean, of course, I'm interested in how you guys work together and collaborate as co-hosts of a podcast and co-host in life, right? But give me an introduction into Jesse and the work that he does, and tell us about him.
I think my husband is the best. He is my best friend, and I think that is what makes this podcast so fun to do because we actually like each other. You know, we have fun together, we laugh a lot. And I was thinking about even the closing of the one that we did last night. I mean, the tears were there from laughing so hard. But you know, even just sitting down, as I said, you know, we transitioned from being seniors in high school, going off to college at the same time to the same college, and withstanding all of the, you know, meeting new people and all of that, and still holding on to our own relationship. We graduated from college on a Friday night in 1996. We had our wedding rehearsal on that Saturday. We got married on that Sunday, which was Mother's Day. And then that Sunday night, we left moving to Virginia to begin our life together. And it's been a journey of faith, but we've learned a lot about each other the whole time. And so I think, you know, a lot of host of shows, they become friends along the way, and they, but no, we started off this way. And so when we sit down in our production time or our discussion time, as we listen, talk about the topics that we want to address, we're on the same page always. So it's not really scripted. Sometimes we'll just talk about, okay, what kind of points do we want to bring out? What are the nuggets of information that we want people to ride with? And that means that they walk away and they're able to have what some people would call pillow talk, previously, but we say ride with it. To get away from the kids or the cares of life, jump in the car, go grab something to eat at McDonald's or whatever. But let's talk about whatever this topic is. And so he's someone that I can bounce those type of ideas off of, and he does the same for me. And we enjoy each other. And I think
It
that's
really
the
seems
best
like
thing that
that.
I can say. We really just enjoy each other's company. And I know sometimes people say, oh, I need a break from my spouse or whatever. We have outside interest. He teaches second grade, so he's a school teacher,
Didn't
an
know that.
educator by nature.
In
And
Manassas City
so a
Public
lot of
Schools,
the in
or
Manassas City.
oh, no kidding. No, you didn't mention that to me last time we spoke. Yeah, that's very
Yes,
cool.
he does work for Manassas City, and he's a second grade teacher, and he's been teaching second grade since 1997. So, so it's always nice when I
I didn't know
see
that. Very cool.
students, former students that come and they see my last name. And in that world, I am Mr. Radford's wife, and I enjoy that. I enjoy that part of my life. I really do. So I think that that's what comes through in the podcast, that we want people to understand that we enjoy each other and that marriage should be fun. And in spite of the fact that you got to pay bills and you got to raise kids if you have them and you have to work and all these things, that you should really enjoy each other. And so while I'm very extroverted, my husband, even though he's a pastor and even though he's a teacher, by nature, he's introverted. And so the spontaneity of our, podcast, I love it because I do feel like in some ways we do fly by the seat of our pants, even though we might know the direction that we're going in, I like the fact that it's unscripted and that we're just having a conversation and inviting people in to have the conversation with us.
And nothing he says on that podcast surprises you at all?
Sometimes, sometimes he will say something and I didn't expect it, but again, that comes from the playful banter that we have with each other, or maybe a memory that he has from something from the past and I had long forgotten it, and he might bring it up and then it causes extreme laughter, but and I'll say, I can't believe you just said that.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Give me some advice for collaborating with a co-host. I don't have a co-host yet. Maybe I will one day, maybe I won't. Who knows? We'll see what the evolution of this podcast looks like, right? You never know when you first start something out. But what advice would you have for somebody who's looking to collaborate with a co-host in a creative endeavor, whether it be a podcast, or maybe you're, together, running a committee, or you're doing presentations, talking about language access, for example. We always want to be talking about language access. So, what advice would you have for collaborating with
I
a
think the
partner?
main part about collaboration, Mark, is really what's the purpose? Are you wanting someone that, sees things the way that you see them? Are you wanting someone that may bring a different perspective to the conversation? And so from my husband, for our podcast, I think as a husband and a wife, male, female type thing, we bring different perspectives to a particular topic. And so he may see things that I don't see, and I see things that he didn't see. And so if I'm looking for someone to share, the podcast with, I'm thinking of how is our relationship? Are we able to freely talk with each other? Do they see things in a way that would not necessarily be offensive, or it's probably a whole lot of things that you have to consider, and what the nature of your podcast is going to be. Certainly if it was Jerry Springer or somebody, they'd be looking for someone that could hype a crowd up and bring in a little bit of drama. But if
All right.
that's not what I want for mine, I want someone that is educated in the sense of the topic area, and
And Al, Full transparency, we're not going for Jerry Springer.
Right. I mean, I hope in the area of language access that we don't have, that type of thing going on. You are not the translator. Like, I don't know, but whatever.
You are not certified to translate.
That's right. Yeah.
You
We
need ethics
definitely.
training.
No, we definitely don't want that type of atmosphere, but you have to know what you want. And then I think that that would probably help in identifying the right person if there is going to be the opportunity for co-sharing or co-hosting. Now, you could also just have various, guests and, kind of be the lone ranger because my husband has multiple podcasts actually. So some of them
Oh.
are with a co-host and others are just him, and then inviting guests on to have to, engage in conversation.
Okay, very cool. Now, in terms of how you guys select guests, how do you go through that process? Is that something that you guys are, you do have like a rolling list of people that you want to bring on? And how far in advance are you preparing? Because at the onset of our conversation, you mentioned when you first started this, you had four or five podcasts that you already had queued up, which is a similar, strategy that I'm going to try to implement here, is just,
Right.
having some good content that you can, then show people, what the work you're doing, and then hopefully more people will want to come on with you as you go, right? So talk to me a little bit about how you guys select, the partners that, you bring on to speak on the podcast. And then, maybe tell me a little bit about the, as I mentioned, you gotta have great partners, especially at the beginning, right? Great, great people to come on the podcast like yourself who can share a story that can, be intriguing and, certainly, marketable and share ideas around, the topics that are interest to you. So tell me a little bit about, maybe the first guest that you brought on your podcast and then, how you guys make those selections moving forward.
I think it depends on the topic. And again, if you're looking at what's trending in the area that you are podcasting about. So we're saying what's trending in marriage relationships right now. So we have that conversation, and then we think about also as pastors, what is the trending topic that we've dealt with as people sit across the table from us that we find is the prevailing piece that may be relevant for other people who may be listening. And so as we sat down and talked about topics and we made a list of those things, then we said, who do we know in our world, in our circle of friends or acquaintances that might be comfortable, first of all, coming on and talking about whatever this topic is, and that we have full confidence in that they would bring a relevant perspective to it. So I think our very first guests were our best friends from college, and we were talking about dating and relationships and the fact that, we all have kids and that the idea of dating is scary for us with them. Because we all have been out of that game for a long time. And so when
The
I
idea
think,
of your kids dating is scary, as you're saying?
yes, because my son is 22, my daughter's 18, and they and our best friends have children that are about the same. And so when we think about the fact that we didn't have social media and we didn't have online dating, all of these things that come at them that we didn't have when we were out there doing this, it's a little scary. And so I think, having that conversation candidly with another couple was a very interesting one for us. And then we were just talking the other day because we're trying to figure out what is our next one that we want to do. And most recently, we've been talking to young couples that have been married 10 years or less. And so we've already identified a couple of them that we want to pick their brains a little bit about some of the things that they're facing and what the biggest challenges are and where they feel like they need support, and things like that from the old heads, which we've become now,
So, what are some of those questions? Because my wife and I would fall into that topic, right? And I'm all about working a process of continuous improvement in everything I do, including my marriage, right? So, what are some of those questions that you're hearing from younger couples that they're reflecting on in their marriage?
Yeah, some of them are dealing with, it's especially we have one couple in our life that's only been married a couple of years now, and so they're struggling with the external family piece of this. How to navigate spending time with, the extended family. Parents and siblings and things like that now that they're married, especially with regards to holidays and things like that. That's been something that has come up quite a bit, especially when they have children. So we have some that have just gotten married, but then there's also a couple who now they have children or one, you know, and then it's kind of like, well, how much time do we spend for Christmas versus Thanksgiving with my parents or your parents? To not be offensive, because I went through that a little bit with my own. You know, my husband and I both, at least our parents lived in the same state. But I used to say at the time, it would have been better if they lived in separate ones, honestly, because then we could, because here we were splitting time, you know, like a little bit of time at this one and a little bit of time at the other. And it's a juggling act, you know. So we have some of those are coming up with that type of thing, some who are trying to deal with as they are learning about, you know, 4, 5, 6, 10 years out, what are our plans about retirement? Things that we need to start thinking about as far as saving money. I like to spend money. You like to save money. Things that they may have not done, they may not have gone through any type of premarital counseling. And so now they thought they knew each other, and it's not really a bad thing, but they thought they knew each other and had talked about everything that needed to be talked about. But I didn't know you wanted 5 kids. I only want one, or, you know, just things like that, you know, or career tracks. Some of them have talked about, you know, well, my mom stayed home, you know, and raised me and my siblings, when the other one is saying, well, I want to work, you know, and I have a career path that I'm on. And what does that look like? So we just try to force the hard questions. You know, we sit down and then we just kind of think about some of the things either we've gone through or something that we may have heard through other, you know, conversations with people to bring that up to get them talking.
Those are all challenges that my wife and I have experienced in our young relationship. So
And
I,
other people have too.
yeah, it's good to hear. You know, one of the things that I'm focused on, you know, coming up, you know, we're 38 this year. We're turning 38 this
Okay.
fall. So I think we're kind of like, you know, inching towards a midlife crisis moment, at least, you know, maybe it's on the horizon, maybe for me, maybe not for her. But one of the things that I wanted to do with my wife and be more focused on is creating those short, long, and short, medium, and long-term goals. That's one thing that I'm really hoping that, you know, and that's really hard to do, right? Because,
It is
you know,
hard.
like you said, some people like to spend, some people like to save, some people like experiences, some people like, you know, material goods, right? Everybody's different, and people change over time. My wife and I have been
We'll
married
change.
6 years now, 6 years. I think we've changed a ton as people, for the better. But
Right.
we've changed together. We've evolved together. I think we're, you know, continuing to be more supportive of one another, but kind of manifest, like putting our dreams out there into the world and manifesting them. That's something that I
Yes.
really want to focus on in the coming
Right.
years, just making sure that like my wife and I have a plan for what does 40 look like? What would
Right.
be success at 40 years old? And that's 2 years from now, you
I
know?
know.
I better
Right.
get busy.
And Mark, you know, you saying that, you guys are supportive of that is huge, because not everybody can flow with change. And so recognizing, even for myself and my husband, that we're not the same people at 51 that we were at 23. And our outlook on life changes, just as I said, in our 20s and 30s, and maybe even in our 40s. We weren't really thinking so much about that plight of retirement and life after the kids, et cetera. But now it's a reality, you know, and it's like, okay, we have to have these conversations. And if one spouse is like, oh yeah, I just want to travel the world and have a great time, and the other is saying, I want to invest and have something that we can leave to our children and our children's children, et cetera, we got to be on the same page about that kind of stuff, you know? And so having those conversations, you know, mortality becomes more real the older you get and things like that. There are things that we didn't think of talking about until we started having to deal with it with our parents. And, you know, we started saying, oh, wow, that's upon us. I was just with my mother-in-law a couple of weeks ago for my daughter's graduation, and casually, now my mother-in-law and I are very, very close. I love her like a parent because, again, 17 years old, she came into my life.
And is she still in Arkansas or is
In
she?
Arkansas.
Okay, cool.
And so we're having a casual conversation and laughing and talking. And then all of a sudden she says, yeah, because you know, you're middle aged. And I said, well,
Excuse me.
Because for some reason, I did not realize I was middle-aged. And what that meant when I was in my early 20s or as a teenager, seeing my parents be middle-aged, they were old. That's what that equated to me. And so when she said it, and then I gasped, literally the way I just did with you, she said, "Are you surprised by that?" And I said, "Yes." In my mind, I'm thinking I'm still a youngster. Why are you saying that? But when I thought about it, I said, "Oh my gosh, that is half of 100." It really is. And so I said to her, "Yeah, you're right. I really am that." I said, "But you're the first person that I ever heard say it."
Calling a spade a
But I went
spade.
home and I talked to my husband about it because I said, realizing that these changes in life, changes of life, that we're going through, that it's reality. And I think, the more open we are about those things for ourselves, that generation of people, and that audience of people that are listening to us that are going through the same thing, somebody out there saying, "Whew, I'm so glad somebody else is talking about this."
Being middle-aged or
Yeah,
relationships in
just being
general, or
middle-aged
anything.
or the realization of that, because I never look at myself the way I looked at my parents. But at a certain point, when I'm raising my own children, I'll say, "I sound just like my mother," or "I sound just like my dad." Because guess what? They were right.
I'm a young father. I have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and another one on the way.
Well,
She's due in December. So
yeah.
it's amazing. But it just really makes you reflect on your life and your parents. And I think we're very, at least, I find that I'm tough on my parents sometimes. I'm
Yes.
critical of them. And I hope my parents show them more grace, show me more grace than I show my parents at times. So it is tough getting old. It's
I
tough.
will tell you real quickly, though, one of the things my husband has said often, and I have said this with other people, that we are raising our grandchildren's parents.
Okay, unpack that for me.
If my children will be the parents of my grandchildren. And so what I share with my kids, the memories that they carry from how I raised them, will kind of dictate the way they raise their children. And so when they do that, I want my grandchildren to be good citizens. I want my grandchildren to be mannerable, to be respectful of people and things like that. And so I have to hold my own children accountable to those things if I want that to be embedded in them so that they carry that on down to their kids. And so whenever I'm, helping them to make life decisions and things like that, I'm looking at my son going, "One of these days, he's going to be the father of my grandchildren." Oh my goodness. It's a huge responsibility to be a
A lot of
parent.
pressure, yeah.
It really is.
Well, now you just raised the stakes on me. I've not been thinking about grandkids yet. That's tough.
I know your babies are still young, but I mean,
It's good though. It's good. Like I
yeah,
said,
but it just goes back to how serious it is and what a blessing it is to be able to raise children. And again, I was expecting my son during 9/11. And I think that was such an eye-opening experience for me in the idea of bringing him into a world that was in chaos at that moment, and so that sheltering, that nurturing, that wanting to be protective of your kids, it became very real to me then and what the responsibilities were. And so, I think that that's the kind of stuff that we like to talk about openly, on the podcast and how important balancing all of that is.
Absolutely. Well, it's an awesome podcast. You're gonna have to send me some more links.
I
I
appreciate
want to
it.
see some of your husband's other podcasts as well too. I think he's a
Yeah, he
great
has her own
speaker.
leadership
And
and things like that.
there you
So,
go. That's a topic that's up my alley. I like that.
yeah.
Very cool. Awesome. All right. Well, we talked a little bit of the podcast. I
Yes.
want to transition the conversation a little bit towards language access.
Yes.
So, Al, of course, you were at our Language Access Symposium, which was hosted with a client of ours at Loudoun County Public Schools. Again, thank you so much for being there.
It
Thank
was
you for
awesome.
being so active and participating in the conversation. I thought it was really an interesting time, and I want your impressions on it. I want it just, shoot me straight, okay? But I thought it was a very unique mix of school districts, right? So, you know, we have Fairfax County Public Schools. They're the 11th largest school district in the entire country, clients of PGLS as well. They have a very different language access program than the one that exists at Manassas City Public Schools versus the one that exists with our partners at Loudoun County Public Schools. Everyone has different resources, as I tell people all the time, right? School districts are like snowflakes. No two are the same.
Correct.
So, you know, with that in mind, talk to me a little bit about, you know, that experience at the Language Access Symposium, maybe some of your, you know, takeaways and impressions of the event. And we can talk a little bit about that if you're interested.
I was excited about the opportunity to be in the room with so many people who are working in that area. Here in Manassas City, we definitely have grown in our need for the support for language services. And so I'm very fortunate to have a interpreter or translator in the central office. We have one person who is in my department now, and definitely in our 9 schools, we have dedicated Spanish speaking interpreters in each one of those locations. But that's it. You know, we don't have other languages to support other speakers of those languages to be able to support our families, which is where PGLS has come in to help us. But sitting in that room and listening to how a lot of the larger districts are able to navigate through some of that, how they have some people on staff to support families and things, it was great to be able to glean, to make connections. Some of us are staying connected, you know, even beyond that day. And I was so very happy for that. And, you know, yeah, we can research and go out and find somebody on the internet, you know, in another school division. But it was nice to have that network there and to hear everybody be open about not only the triumphs that they've seen in being able to help families, but what are the challenges? You know, because again, just like I was talking about marriages, in this work environment, sometimes you feel like there are people out there who are in a perfection state and they got it all together or whatever. And it's not always the case. Not that it's shabby or anything, but maybe they are having a hard time meeting all of the demands and needs just the same way that we are, even at a smaller level. And so I think that my takeaway was, you're just like me. You know, that you have a lot of the same challenges and responsibilities, and you want to really make a difference in providing that access for your families the same way that we do. And so I was very excited about the opportunity to have all of us in the room. And as you said, it was a diverse group from different district levels. You had some private school folks in there. You know, you had people who are using software to get things done. And then you have people who are doing manual work, you know, to get things done. How we pay people out, you know, for the work that they do varied across the room. And so many of us were able to take a lot of notes and say, hey, I want to do exactly what you're doing. But then on our side, there were a few things that we were excited to walk away from and say, wow, at least we're doing that in the same way that others are doing it. You know what I mean?
So what were those things that made you feel really good walking out of there?
It just made us feel good that as I listened to some of them manage about how to the support that they were providing for parent-teacher conferences and other meetings and things like that, you know, that our efforts are not in vain in the sense that we're able to do that. You know, the collection of information where the needs are. Some were using Google Sheets, some were using a software, you know, so I said, hey, we've got an organized way that we're trying to have a paper trail of how many people we've had to support, you know, over the school year. That made me feel good that we're not just out there willy-nilly, you know, flying by the seat of our pants on that we're trying to do it in an organized way. And yes, there were some that were doing that same thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, language access in its nature is going to be a challenging thing for schools, right? You know, we're native English speakers. You know, I'm ashamed to admit that my Spanish isn't as good as it once was when I had more opportunities to practice and some service experiences that allowed me to, you know, really, you know, work on those skills. But that's an incredible takeaway. And I'm glad that you had that experience.
Yeah. You know, there was one division who talked about budget And
I think everyone's having a hard time with
everybody
that.
was talking about budget, but there was one in particular that was talking about budget and the challenge in providing the services and being able to go into like central office, admin folks and say, "Oh my goodness, we've gone over budget," or we still have more that we still need to serve. And it was a negative vibe that she presented as she was saying it, almost like, "I'm scared to go in here and tell them this information." And I will tell you that something stirred up inside of me to help her see that it's a good problem, And when I said that to her, and I said, "Listen, how many families were you able to service? How many more families received the information that they needed to be able to support their children because you provided the information in their language so that they could really understand? That's a wonderful thing." And I said, "If you go into those meetings," I sit on the cabinet with our superintendent and others. "So when I go into those meetings, and when you go into those meetings, you need to be excited. Look how many of our families receive the information that they need." And she said, I never really thought about it because I kept thinking, "Oh my gosh, we went outside of what they gave us."
Right,
You
shame,
went
shame,
outside
shame.
of what they gave you because you needed to.
Yeah, and you got people who are hardworking, and you're filling interpreters, and you're
Right.
getting people
That's
in
not
positions to
wasteful.
serve. No, you're efficient. You're
You're
doing great.
efficient.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I said, "It's all in the way you present it." And
Yes.
she said, "You know what? When we were leaving," she said, "that is my takeaway today. Of all the things that I heard that I was able to write down for myself," she said, "my presentation in defending the work that we're doing in our department, I need to believe it. I need to help people see the benefit of it all." And I said,
Yeah,
"Exactly."
and there's plenty of data out there that talks about, the impact that parent and student engagement has on student growth, which then is going to have a, profound impact on
Yes.
students achieving greater levels of
Yes.
proficiency. And there's achievement gaps that exist all across the country. It's not unique to any one of these schools that I
Right.
meet with in the DMV.
Right.
The more engagement, the more parent participation within
Right.
students' education progress. We're going to move numbers at a high level as it relates
Yes.
to student growth. So,
Yes.
empowering those people in the room to be able to tell that story, and that's a great takeaway. That really is.
Yeah,
Wow.
tell the story.
Yeah, and
Tell the story
use the
of how
numbers.
many of a particular language you were able to service. Tell the story that they showed up to the parent teacher conference or to the STEM night or the whatever it was, because you promised them that you were going to have somebody there that would help them understand what was going on. That's powerful.
Everyone wants to have conversations about inclusion, right? We want to be more
Yes.
inclusive in our schools.
Right.
Getting out there and talking the talk and walking the walk. It's there. It's possible, right?
Yes.
And seeing so many of
Yes.
those school leaders get in the room, and yeah, it was awesome. It was very fulfilling for me personally, to lead that discussion and moderate the conversation on behalf of all those tremendous school leaders. I mean, I've done a lot of, different things in my career. Sold a lot of products. I've done marketing. I've done consulting. I've done, all sorts of different things. But it does fill my heart to know that, we're making tremendous strides in promoting language access at PGLS. And, I just know that, we're going to have the ability to impact families for, generations to come by starting, within, in some cases, within an early childhood program, we're introducing them to interpretation services at a very young age, and helping parents understand their rights for interpretation services is an incredibly important theme all across the country. In some states, we do better than others in terms of letting parents know of their rights. But, one thing for me personally that, I hope other school leaders kind of take away from that conversation is we all have a great opportunity to be advocates for those multilingual families in our communities. So, I think that messaging, rang loud and clear. And I came away from that conversation knowing that I was on the right path in
Yes.
terms of, how I can add value to the conversation. And, of course, PGLS has wonderful interpreters, and we have a translation department that's second to none. We do language training for school staff to allow families to, or excuse me, allow those school staff members to have more authentic engagement with the
Yes.
multilingual families in the community. There's so many things that we're doing to promote language access, and it's just an incredible blessing that I'm able to, wake up every morning, coming to work on a Monday, knowing that, I'm going to be having meaningful conversations that are going to really help people. I mean, that's great work.
Yes.
It's a lot better than, selling manufactured printing products that, got printed in China and 90% of them are going to be in a landfill anyways. So
Right.
I've done some boring things in my career, but I have to say that, I'm so grateful for partners like you. And so grateful for, your friendship over the last year and getting involved with some causes that are really important to me.
Yes.
For example, that Language Access Symposium. So, again, Al, thank you for all the work you do champion language access at Manassas City Public Schools. Don't be a stranger. If I can ever help you,
Thank you.
get on the podcast sometime for you and Jesse, we'd love to do that for you guys. And,
Oh, we would love that.
Looking forward to continuing, our friendship and partnership for many years to come. So for our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in to the first edition of the Language Access Lectern. Joining me today again, Al Radford. Al, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Don't be a stranger. Join us next month. And like, subscribe, Riding with the Radfords. You can find it on YouTube. Hope you guys enjoyed the session
Oh,
today.
thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right.